morning. My name is Molly Mitchell Golding.
And I'm Brittany Parr.
And we have had the fun opportunity of interning over in the Children's Building this summer. And we would just like to encourage all to open your Bibles and you can follow along with us as we read from the book of Acts. We're going to be in chapter 8, and then we're going to be reading verses 1 through 8. And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word.
Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. When they heard him and saw the signs that he did, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many of those who had them, and many of those who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city.
Great job. This is awesome. I don't think I'm going to ever take corporate worship for granted on the same level again. Y'all ready to pray? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we approach you right now and we thank you that we get to be in the same room. And we know that there are many that are joining us right now still online and it's not yet time for them. And we recognize they're with us. And Father, I pray that your presence would be felt in their homes, in their lives, in their car, wherever they're driving right now, that you'd be with them. We ask right now that you would take us and speak into our lives through your word. I'm going to invite you right now in your heart to just do whatever you need to do with God to open up communication. Maybe you wrestle with even thinking God exists. We're so glad you're joining us. But if that's you, just say, hey, God, if you're real, say something to me right now. Maybe for you, you're a follower of Christ, but you recognize you're far from him because you've been living life your way, not his way, and you need to confess something. Say, God, I'm sorry. Pray for me. Pray that my words right now would be used by God, that he would empower my words, that I could be a conduit right now from his word to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to scoot this back so I can be a little closer to the TV here. If you have a Bible, I want you to grab it, turn to Acts chapter 8. Or if you want to find an electronic device and get there, you can do that. Acts chapter 8. If you're new to the Bible, it's towards the back. It's like three quarters of the way through. And I am going to be continuing in our series through the book of Acts. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to be with one of our mission partners, Mission Regan, for their open house. And I showed up and immediately two sophomores in high school grabbed me and walked me around their new warehouse, and they told the stories of God working in and through Mission Regan. And as I was listening to them tell these stories, I was sitting there thinking, God, it's so cool that you didn't just choose to save us. And if you've grown up hearing all about Christianity, maybe you've never heard the full message of Christianity, the Bible doesn't just call us to get fire insurance, like to say, okay, yes, Jesus saved me. Yes, conversion, if you've never experienced that, you need to place your faith in Jesus. But we're seeing through the book of Acts what happened after people placed their faith in Jesus. He used the followers of Jesus, he worked in and through their lives to do the advance of the gospel around the world. So I'm hearing that with Mission Regan. I after the tour of the little place there in Mission Regan, Lance Olinsky walks up to me, who helps lead another one of our mission partners, Streetside Showers, and he starts talking about how God is working in and through him. And there's like six different locations now, one in Florida. And he said, hey, so many opportunities, Sam, where people say, why are you doing this? And I get to say, it's because Jesus loves you and just watching the joy in his life as God is working in and through his life. I leave there. We have a new neighbor that we're loving getting to know that's next door to our house. And he said, I've got a brother who's an exec pastor, and I'd like for you to meet him. Went over to his house. He starts talking about how God is working in and through his life. Then I got to sit down with Justin and Holly, our worship pastor, and started hearing how Holly is, God's working in and through her life right now in a cool way, making these new signs with Bible verses on them and stuff like that. Our family got one last night. I hear all of that, and then if I'm to be fully honest, I've been frustrated during this season. Maybe you have been also. Like, God, why are you allowing the shutdown, right? I've heard so many people say, and I've said it, that this is an unprecedented season. In fact, I heard that multiple times, and I thought, whatever precedent it is, maybe we just need some of that. I've had conversations with two leaders in our church, strong Christian leaders in our church, that have told me through tears, I'm angry right now all the time. Have you felt that way? Like, what is going on? What is God doing in and through you? Is the question I want to ask right now. I've been asking it of me. And we're going to see in this passage in Acts an unprecedented time in the church and God working in and through the church in ways that I think in cultural Christianity we don't think God is working most of the time. Okay? First thing I want to point out to you before we get there is the commission that God gave his followers through his son Jesus. Now, Jesus, again, he's died on the cross already. He's taken the sin of the world away already. He's told his followers, hey, look, he appeared 40 days teaching them, showing them how the Old Testament pointed to him, like Stephen showed us last week in his sermon, how the Old Testament pointed to him for 40 days. At one point, he appeared to over 500 people and showed himself alive to them. So he's already died on the cross. He rose again, and he didn't just take everyone to heaven. He gives his followers a purpose. He decides he's going to work in and through the lives of his followers. And he says this, you will receive power, and we'll talk about that word today, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, if you've been with us, first seven chapters of the book of Acts all take place in where? Jerusalem. Now, he said you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem. He actually says wait before he says go. Wait for the power. The power has come in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit in their lives, and they're still in Jerusalem. He wants them to go to Judea and Samaria. Samaritans were considered by the Jews half-breeds. There was this great racial tension that was between the Jews and the Samaritans. The church had not gone to Samaria. First seven chapters, we see three trials. First trial ends with the followers of Jesus being threatened. Second trial ends with the followers of Jesus being beaten. Third trial, which is the one we looked at last week, ends with one of the followers of Jesus being killed. God, where are you? Why are you allowing this to happen? It's worse than COVID. What's going on? All right, if you're taking notes, this is what we're going to see first. God allows pain. What's God doing in your life? God allows pain to push us into position. God allows pain to push us into position. Here we go. I showed you 1:8. Here's now 8:1. Acts 8, verse 1. And Saul approved of his, that was Stephen last week, his execution. And there arose on that day a great, what's the word? Arose on that day a great, what's the word? Y'all say it with me. I've been missing you being in the room with me. I can hear your voice. It's harder when I say what's the word when you're home. He arose on the day a great, one more time. Persecution against the church in Jerusalem. Where are you, God? God's working in their life. He's allowing something to happen. Great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the region of, where are they? Judea and Samaria, the position he had called them to in Acts 1:8. He allows pain in their life to push them into position, except the apostles. They stay in Jerusalem. They're going to show up, a few of them, later in our story. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him, but Saul was ravaging, your translation might actually read, destroying the church. And entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Saul is like messing things up in the church. Great pain, ravaging the church. Now, those who were scattered went about preaching the word. They're going to be witnesses. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. Proclaimed, literally announced, he declared, he made known to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. When they heard him and they saw the signs, they're going to hear something he's saying. They're also going to see something he's doing, the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. Supernatural things through his life. So there was much now, watch, what's this word? There's much joy in that city. Oh, wait a second, I thought this was about persecution in the church. It was. There's great pain in the church, but it pushed them in a position to actually bring great joy to other people as they came to know Jesus. Hey, could it be in your life right now that God is working in that way? Jesus told his followers, I'd never seen a word here in the context that Leroy showed it to me this last week through him helping us with our Acts study. This is really cool. Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. God wants to work in and through a bunch more people's lives. So he's going to say, you know, I want you to pray. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Here's what I'd never seen. This word send out literally means not just have an ordination service. This word means to force to leave, to drive out, to push in an uncomfortable way someone from the position they're in out. Never seen that. He says, pray that God would push people out. How does he do that? Well, sometimes God allows pain to do that. What's God doing in through you? Maybe God is allowing pain to push you in position. Okay, back to Mission Regan, where I was yesterday. Some of y'all have heard this story because they're, again, part of our church. I think Josh is here today. I saw Josh earlier with, Josh and Courtney are part of the room. Yes, I see the Larkins are part of the ministry there. But Mission Regan started this way. They went to adopt, like many in our church have done, they went to adopt in Uganda, Owen, who's part of our church we love. He's a big part of our church. And while they were there, there was another young boy whose name was Regan, but Regan was in a lot of pain. He was very sick. Well, they initially thought, well, if he's really sick, in fact, people are thinking that Regan might die, well, that's probably because he might have malaria or AIDS or TB or something like that. So Josh asked the nurse, what's going on here? And the nurse said, well, he has pneumonia. And Josh is thinking, well, in the States, like, people can be treated for pneumonia. And the nurse said, well, yes, the doctor has prescribed a medication that we have no access to. The doctor has prescribed a medication that we cannot get. It's a medication called Rocephin. Now, Josh, first responder, had been helping with the pediatric clinic, and before coming on the trip, they had given him one medication. You know what it is? Rocephin, right? So he was able to treat. 4 days later, Regan saw a turn in his life. God used that to prompt Josh and Courtney to start this ministry that has now affected countless lives locally and globally. Now, why would God allow something in Regan's life, right? I don't know what's happening in your life, but could it be that God's wanting to use whatever pain you're, maybe it's not related to COVID at all. Now, students, I know, I've talked to so many students, extremely frustrating right now. Hey, talked to one that was going to be a starting running back for their football team last week. And now football may not happen, he said, for his school. Now, I'm hoping that's not the case. I mean, I am a football fan, okay? Frustrating. What's God doing? Sometimes in our pain, we think God's far away. Could it be that God, like he has in the book of Acts, is allowing pain to push us into position to be used by him in a greater way? I'll come back to that, but the second thing we'll see here in the story, not only something God does in the people's lives, allowing something to happen, but something he's going to do through their lives. God's going to give power. Notice the P here is capitalized, Holy Spirit power, to point others to Jesus. Now, this is also something in cultural Christianity that we don't often think that God is working. We don't go to the supernatural power of God much. We don't think that God is going to work in my life in supernatural ways. I want you to see it in the book of Acts. Y'all with me so far? All right, online, you're with us. All right, here we go. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said. I went back two verses, read these again. They paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. He was doing supernatural signs, great power. What was he doing? For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them. He was performing exorcisms through the Holy Spirit power. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. Like, this is Mission Regan stuff going on through his life in supernatural ways. So there was much joy in that city. Now, we're about to read here right after this a story about great power. But we're going to see in this story that there are people that are going to want this power not to point attention to Jesus. There are people that are going to want this power. They're going to want God to work supernaturally in their lives for selfish reasons. They're going to want point attention to themselves. And this is a crazy cool story, and so I'm not even going to comment. I'll underline a few things. I'm not going to comment on the story because I want you to see this story, and I want you to see the supernatural power of God present, and then the problem that some people are wanting that power for selfish ways to point attention to them, not Jesus. Y'all with me? Here we go. All right, this guy's named Simon. But there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them, cha-ching, saying, "Give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your ching perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And Simon answered, pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come upon me. Did y'all see what happened in the story? There was great power that was working through Philip's life. Philip, God was working in that great power. Philip was pointing people to Jesus through that power. People are believing in Jesus. Now there's another guy, his name's Simon. Simon was a magician. And Simon was doing magic to try to point attention to him, not to Jesus, is what Simon was doing. But Philip shows up on the scene, and apparently his miracles were a whole lot better than Philip's magic, because those who are amazed at Simon's magic start turning to Philip and believing in the message that Philip was presenting. Y'all saw it in the story, right? Even Philip himself, not Philip, excuse me, Simon himself was amazed, placed his trust in Jesus, we think. Commentary writers disagree about really what went on in his life, because there's this clear thing going on in Simon where he decides, I want that power to point attention to me. Okay, there's so much that I could say here. I don't think in cultural Christianity that we expect the supernatural power of God. So often when I'm around people who are wanting the supernatural power of God, they're wanting it not for Jesus, they're wanting it for themselves. I grew up in a real conservative Baptist church in East Texas, small church, 80 people in the church, in Bodark. Anybody even know Bodark Baptist Church? Anybody even know? There's a few hands here in the room. If you know Bodark, You might be a hick like me. Let me skip forward. College, I went on a mission trip. I'm in Mexico. We're doing building houses, bringing food. I was after a hurricane. And then we were also in the process sharing the gospel on the streets through a drama. And there was this man that came, and he was extremely disruptive. Extremely disruptive. And then we started talking Jesus. His eyes roll back in his head, and he all of a sudden starts speaking in a different voice. Now, parents, I don't think I'm scaring kids too much, but bear with me for just a second. I'm like, what? Guy next to me said, hey, I think that this guy's possessed. We need to go pray over him. And I did not grow up playing that way. I'm like, what? That, whoa. That's Acts, not now. And so we did. We pray over him, watched the whole thing take place, throw up every time we say Jesus. God freed him through the power of the Holy Spirit. He places his faith in Christ. That guy did that night. It's awesome. 5 years later, I was still reading my journal entries from that night. 10 years later, I started thinking, maybe I had bad pizza, because I'm still following Jesus. I'm still talking about Jesus, and I'm not seeing that all the time. 15 years later, I am leading a mission trip for another real conservative, big Baptist church. The guy who used to pastor here, Jeff Warren, now leads in Park City's Baptist Church. I'm leading the trip. We're in Nepal. We're hiking up into these mountains, and we're sharing the gospel with people who never heard the name of Jesus. I was in a hut next door to this hut, and I'm hearing this girl say that God had freed her because a missionary had come and shared with her about Jesus, and she had used to be, and I'm thinking, you had bad pizza. And someone runs into my tent and says, Pastor Sam, it was an interpreter, we need you. Tent next door, someone on our trip had started reading out of John chapter 3, As he starts reading out of John chapter 3, the story of Jesus and Nicodemus, which is where God said, love the world, gave his only begotten, that's where that verse comes from. This lady stands up in the back of the tent, head goes back, and she looks straight at the guy, girl reading and says, we do not read about Jesus here in English. So the interpreter said to his wife, babe, go grab my weapon and call for backup. His weapon was his guitar, and he started singing praise songs. Backup was me. Now, remember, I didn't play that way. I come in the tent, and I'm like, whoa, this looks real familiar, that voice. And so we started praying. One of the guys who loves Jesus, he had never seen it happen in his life either, loves Jesus. He's like, I don't know what to do. I'm going to start reading red print. So he grabs his Bible, and he starts reading red print. About an hour and 15 minutes, maybe an hour and a half later, I mean, it was just crazy watching that Jesus, in the name of Jesus, conversation, God freed her. Praise God. Not us, the power of the Holy Spirit. It was like the story where y'all read in the Gospels where the goat and the pigs, like right outside of the hut, immediately this fight breaks out between two kids. Like we could, we had three people touching her when she was freed, and you could feel it leave. And then she looks up at us. She had been sweating. I mean, there's puke everywhere. She says, would you like tea? Now, and I'm thinking, some of y'all think I'm never coming back to this church. I've been here 3 years. I'm just telling y'all this story first time. Did I believe God could? I believe he could. I'd read all the stories in Acts. Did I believe he would? To be honest with you, before seeing it the first time, I didn't believe God did those kind of things. It's still not. Like, I was thinking, there's so much that I could be talked about here. Before everybody's like, okay. First, witchcraft was being practiced in both of those areas. They would actually ask on themselves the demonic presence to bring healing. I mean, crazy stuff. Okay, so why do we not see it in the same way? We see it in the United States, not in the same way. Second thing I would say is the gospel is much more present in our culture than it was there. They revealed themselves as soon as we started talking about Jesus. So why do we not see it in the same way here? There's something about when the gospel becomes present and this word is being taught in a culture, it's a little different. The third thing that I would tell you is we have an adversary who is smart. And if that were to happen right in front of you today, you would all be having a longer quiet time tomorrow. We have an adversary that's going to attack your life in different ways. And so I see it happen, and I think, okay, so here's the other thing that we see in Acts, even in this passage, that God at different times in the advance of the gospel through his power works in different ways. One of the things we saw here in this story is the Holy Spirit didn't come at the point of conversion in this story. But that's actually different than it's even taught in the book of Acts. Different than we read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, In him you also, when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed, when that happened, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. One point in time and event. Why did it separate itself? The power of God, I think, wanted to show the Jews that the Samaritans are now part of the kingdom of God. And I want to bring John, and I want to bring Peter, and I want them to sit down, and I want them to watch. Look, the Holy Spirit is saving these people. What am I trying to say? Church, I want you to be open to the fact that pain, God might be allowing pain in your life because he wants to do something through you. And second thing, I believe that God wants to work in supernatural ways in and through our lives for his glory. Now, will it look like an exorcism tomorrow? Probably not. But God wants to, not for you. I fear this, right? God, this is a platform, right? And Simon wanted the power of God so that people would pay attention to him. And I'm a pastor. Here's the words of Paul. Watch what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Where's his arrow pointing? Up. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of, what's the?
I got the power.
To point to Jesus, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Students, there are a lot of things that can get you likes on social media. There are a lot of things that will get you likes on social media. Is your primary concern about you getting you likes or you getting Jesus likes? Platforms that God is giving you right now, right? What is God doing in and through you? What is God doing in this passage? We see pain pushing people in position. I think he could be doing it in your life right now. And then also we see God will give power to point others to Jesus. He will give power to point others to Jesus. Last week, one of the ways I saw this in and through the church is we had a single mom in our church that was moving. Some 30 people decided they were going to come and help move this mom. It was crazy. I conveniently show up late as they're getting, and I got ragged for that. But I'm showing up, and they're loading. I did get to unload, but I didn't get to fully load. I'm watching like this swarm of people loading on a truck. We get to the neighborhood where we're going to unload, and this swarm of people pulls up out of their cars, and they're pulling all kind of, you know, furniture and boxes and all. I mean, like, and then you see next door neighbors stick their heads out and then walk out on the porch, and they're like, what is going on here? So I walk up to them, and they, you know what? They were watching the power of the body of Christ, and it was getting their attention. And I said, hey, this is a church. This is a church that we believe in Jesus, and we love each other, and this is a church coming together. Watch. And they were like, they started asking questions. Do y'all do this a lot? I'm like, well, we love people. I said, you got an awesome couple that's moving in next door. I said, do y'all have a church? They didn't bite on that. That's one of my questions. Do y'all have a church family? They didn't bite. End of the deal, though, I'm thinking, God's getting their attention, right, in a powerful way. And I believe God wants to do that in and through your life. He's doing that. The world is watching Christians right now because we say we have hope, and the world needs hope more than we've ever seen in our lives right now. Are you wanting to point people to you? If you do, there's danger. Die to yourself and point people to Jesus. So here's how it ends. Now, when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. You know where they are? They're now taking a step towards where God wants them. We're going to see more. God pushes people to the ends of the earth later in the book of Acts. What are they doing? They're talking about Jesus. Back step here, a couple of points. Some of you think, why would God allow pain? Why would God, bad things shouldn't happen to good people. Well, there's only one good person, and you know God allowed bad things to happen to him? His name was Jesus. You know why God allowed his son to be crucified? God allowed him to be in that position so that he could save you. That's why God allowed that to happen to him. God's supernatural power in his life, his resurrection, proves who he said he was. So the followers of Jesus, the Jerusalem, became Christian. Jesus. If you're here today and you've never placed your faith and trust in Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to receive the gift of salvation by saying, God, I believe that you sent Jesus to take the penalty I deserve. If you have believed in Jesus before, I want you to know that it doesn't end with fire insurance. Like, our desire here is to teach people to be true disciples that would live and love like Christ. God wants to work in and through your life, and he is, if you're a follower, working in and through your life. Maybe he's allowing pain to push you in a position for greater impact. Have you asked for the power? The prayer that I want to give you an opportunity to pray right now is the prayer that I believe that Philip was coaching Simon to have. Hey, Simon, you're wanting the power for your own personal gain. I want you to pray for the power for the point to Jesus. So pray with me right now. Bow your heads and say, God, if you're a follower of Christ, if you're a follower of Christ, say, God, I want your supernatural power to point people to Jesus. Maybe you don't know what that looks like. I don't know fully what that looks like. Holy Spirit, we invite you to do through our church what you did through the early church in Acts. We ask, God, that you would empower your people here in the room as they do class online, as they work through distance, whatever, as they are in conversations with those that believe differently about how to handle the virus situation. Father, we want to die to ourselves and we want to point people to you. So empower us, God, to do that for your glory. Before I pray a prayer of blessing over you, if you've decided to follow Jesus today, or if you want someone to talk with you about a step in your faith in Christ, you can text RESCUE to 50700. We'd love to talk with you. And now if you want, you can put your hands up a little bit like this, and I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing over you. If you're in the room, John's going to dismiss us here in a second to go and accomplish the purpose that he has for you this week. You can put your hands up, and I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing over you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go love your neighbor.